بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. The opening verses of the 12th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about the fact that he has taken upon himself the responsibility of sustaining the entire creation. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature on the earth but that Allah has taken it upon himself to feed and sustain this creature. Sometimes when you study wildlife and you see the diet of some of these wild creatures and beasts, it gives you a reflection and indication of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sustaining every creature. It's unfortunate and tragic that the average human, nay the so-called religious Muslim also, at the point of sustenance somehow loses his balance and he feels that he is in control. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, إِنَّ رَبَّا كَفَاكَ بِالْأَمْسِ مَا كَانَ سَيَكْفِيكَ فِي غَدٍ مَا يَكُونُ. That Allah who nurtured you till today, you think that Allah has become inactive, that he won't take care of your children tomorrow? The Allah that has nurtured you and done for you, and you say, yeah, but you know, at least I studied. Allah did, but you know, at least, you know, we still had something to fall on. The children of, they don't have anything to fall on. No, no. Allah is the sole sustainer. Remember Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam walked into the garden of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and then he picked up a date and he started chewing the date. And then he said to, it was the garden of one of the Sahaba, and Abdullah ibn Umar was with him. So he said, مَا لَكَ يَا ابْنَ عُمَرْ لَا تَأْكُلُ. Oh, Ibn Umar, join me, have a date. He said, oh, Nabi of Allah, I'm satiated and I'm fine, I'm good. I don't think I need anything. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, for you, it is a matter of wanting or not wanting, or full or not full. For me, 4 days have lapsed. Nothing edible has entered the belly of your Nabi. So for me, it's a moment of desperation. Hence, I consume it and I know what the consent of the Sahabi. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, كَيْفَ بِكَ يَبْنَ عُمَرِ إِذَا بَقِيتَ فِي قَوْمٍ يَخْبِئُونَ رِزْقَ سَنَتِهِمْ وَيَضْعَفُ الْيَقِينَ. Oh Ibn Umar, I foresee such a bleak time where the ummah's reliance on Allah will dwindle to such an extent that an average person will stock in his house the provisions of 1 year and the trust in Allah will be non-existent in his life. Trust in Allah will be foreign, will be alien, will be strange in his life. And he will have the stocks and the... How often don't you get into that freezer and we say, we're not yet done with last year's qurbani meat. And then you think of the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَحُكْمِهِ بُؤْسُ اللَّبِيبِ وَطِيبُ عَيْشِ الْأَحْمَقِ. وَمِنَ الدَّلِيلِ عَلَى الْقَضَاءِ وَحُكْمِهِ. The proof that sustenance is pre-decreed by Allah. بُؤْسُ اللَّبِيبِ. Sometimes you find a competent man breaking even. وَطِيبُ عَيْشِ الْأَحْمَقِ. And an incompetent person running an empire. A person who didn't have skill and you realize that, you know, that is why I met one person and he said to me something very good. He was addressing some youngsters. He said, my boy, educate yourself. Not because that will generate your income, because in life you need to know few things. Your sustenance got nothing to do with this. So it's very important we differentiate the two. Do this, and it's important you got to be literate, you need to be educated, you need to know, you got to keep yourself abreast with happenings and developments. That's great, that's awesome, that's wonderful. But my sustenance will not be dependent on my profession. This is something very important. وَمَا مِن دَابَّ. You know, there's that amazing incident of Rabi'a ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, who was the servant of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he said, I served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I served him for a prolonged period of time and I used to sit with him whole day and then I used to go home. Then one day it came to me, it appeared to me, he said, Rabia, you're serving in the day, but what if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has a need by night? So then I said, oh Nabi of Allah, can I extend my hours of serving you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi said, that's your choice. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi approved and he was so happy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi acceded to his request. He said, فَأَجْلِسُ عَلَىٰ بَابِهِ وَأَنَامُ عَلَىٰ عَتَبَةِ دَارِهِ. I would sit at the door and wait. At any odd moment in the night, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam needed me, I was there. And I would fall off to sleep. And subhanAllah, while I would fall off to sleep, it would be Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting Quran falling in my ears. Can you imagine the good fortune of this young boy, Rabi'a? And one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me. وَقَدْ كَانَ مِنْ أُسْلُوبِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أنه ما صنع له أحد معروفا إلا أحب أن يجازيه. This was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's nature. Anybody was kind, he would then reciprocate the kindness. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never left any person without paying back his favor. He offset everything, and the tribute to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, whoever has been kind to me, I have offset his kindness. But hang on, the kindness of Abu Bakr has been so much, it's outside my reach. I have asked Allah to take care of Abu Bakr. I have asked Allah to take care of Abu Bakr. But other than that, anybody who has been kind, I have offset his kindness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person who was very cognizant of the favors of people, and he paid tribute not only directly to himself, even to his sahaba. When the delegation from Abyssinia had come, and it was Ashama, the niggas, whose name was Ashama, who had given amnesty to the sahaba, and when their delegation came to Medina, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up to personally entertain them. And sahaba said, oh Nabi of Allah, we're obviously going to feel insulted. Taraktana kafaynaka ya Rasulullah. Law taraktana kafaynak. Oh Nabi of Allah, please, please take a seat and we will see to everything. He said, innahum kanu li ashabi mukrimin. When nobody sheltered my sahaba, it was the continent of Africa and Ashama in particular that gave amnesty to my sahaba. And I think I owe it to them that I personally stand and acknowledge them. So he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me, and from his tone I realized he wanted to thank me. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to me, O Rabi'a, ask me anything and it's done. And this was literal. You know, I mean, I can tell my son, and then he said, oh, I don't expect something like that. I mean, ask me something, meaning within reason. Within reason. But when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ask me anything, there was nothing that was the limit, because anything that he asked, one day he was sitting with the Sahaba, and then he looked and he said, oh, the Ansar are coming. Marhaban bil Ansar. Marhaban bil Ansar. La tas'aluni shay'an illa a'taytukum. Wala as'alu Allah lakum shay'an illa a'tanihi. La tas'aluni al-yawma shay'an. Whatever you ask me today, I will give it to you. And whatever I ask Allah, Allah will give it to me. And they had actually come with the agenda to ask his blessings in their farming, because they were experiencing some difficulties, some hurdles, some obstacles in farming. Things were not working. They were having some glitches and hiccups. So they said, let's go invoke his blessings. And when they got there, the narration is in Hayatul Sahaba, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, come, come, whatever you want, it's done. Immediately they held an urgent meeting. And they said, let's be wise and change our agenda. Leave the farming, we can get forgiveness done here. Allah's Nabi said, whatever we want, we will get. If we come in with the intention of forgiveness and we hear this, we'll change that forgiveness. That we can ask Allah ourselves also. So, I mean, the doors of forgiveness are open. Allah said in the Quran, you know. Immediately, فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضَ, said, are we together? Are we on a common page? Leave the farming, leave the business, leave the glitches. We asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make dua that Allah must forgive us. They walk in. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, act together, you will decide it. What's it? Yes, only we have Allah, make dua Allah forgive us. That's it? Yes. اللهم اغفر للأنصار ولأبناء الأنصار ولأبناء أبناء الأنصار ولأزواج الأنصار ولجيران الأنصار. Oh Allah, forgive all of them that are sitting here. Oh Allah, forgive all their children. Allah, forgive all their grandchildren. Allah, forgive every partner of theirs. Allah, forgive all their neighbors. But that was wise. So Rabi'a ibn Ka'b said, Nabi Sassam called me. And Nabi Sassam said to me, Rabi'a, ask me, I will give it to you. I said, Amhilni ya Rasulallah li anzur fima atlubuhu mink. Nabi Allah, you want to give me some chance? I want to just deliberate. I want to calculate. I want to get my act together and I'll get back to you. Nabi Sassam said, take your time. Take your time. Take your time. So you're a young boy, whatever you want to. He said, the amazing thing, I'm talking about, Allah has taken the responsibility of my sustenance. Allah has taken the responsibility of my sustenance. The amazing thing is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put this request to me at a point in my life when I was at my lowest economically speaking. Financially, I was never at such a low. So I'm like, Allah works in mysterious ways. That's my understanding. You know, how Allah can give me with one dua. وَكُنْتُ يَوْمَئِذٍ فَقِيرًا لَا مَالَ لِي وَلَا أَهْلَ وَلَا سَكَنْ. I was a beggar, I was a pauper, I had nothing. وَكُنْتُ أَوِي إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. I used to come and sit in the masjid And my colleagues and my peers were all stable. All was happening for them. Everything was hunky-dory. Everything was sailing. Married, wife, children, all on track. I thought one dua and perhaps everything will be sorted out for me. I was known amongst the poor Suffa Muslims. مَعَ أَمْثَالِ مِنْ فُقَرَاءِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَكَانَ النَّاسُ يَدْعُونَنَا بِضُيُوفِ الْإِسْلَامِ Whenever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got food, he would eat little and then he would send it to us. Go give it to my poor Sahaba. I was part of that group. So I decided to myself, فَحَدَّثَتْنِي نَفْسِي أَنْ أَتْلُبَ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَيْئًا أَغْتَنِي بِهِ مِنْ فَقْرٍ وَأَغْدُوكَ الْآخَرِينَ ذَا مَالٍ وَزَوْجٍ وَوَلَدٍ I said, perfect. I'm asking Allah's Nabi. I didn't initiate it. He told me. You know, our mind gives us all the fatwas, isn't it? If somebody tells you, then it's from Allah. This is now directly from Allah. مِنْ غَيْرِ سُؤَالٍ وَلَا إِشْرَافٍ So everything we have in place. So I decided, I'm going to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I'm going to say, O Nabi of Allah, make dua that Allah opens my wealth, Allah opens my taqdeer, and things get stable and start prospering for me. I slept over it. In the morning, I had this overwhelming counter thought. And this thing was coming very passionately and loud within me. I marvel at the sentiments of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayh, who said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرٍ إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرٍ جَعَلَ لَهُ وَاعِظًا مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ جَعَلَ لَهُ وَاعِظًا مِّنْ قَلْبِهِ When Allah intends goodness for an individual, Allah activates his soul and his soul becomes very sensitive and alert to wrong. As soon as he entertains the thought of haram, his soul becomes passionate, active, and starts rebuking and chastising and reproaching and admonishing him and sending him distress signals. So he might be alone in isolation, but as soon as he entertains, the soul is so active that it starts sending these heavy signals that creates great confusion in him. Unfortunately, ours has become dormant or inactive or non-existent. We can commit the wrong, commit the haram, and yet we have absolutely no guilt. So in the morning I got up and I had this. Now imagine, you and I, Allah has given us so much, yet that still takes the priority of our prayers. Yet that still takes the greater portion, the key, the essence, the optimum, the important aspect. He said, I had nothing. All my friends were stable, economically viable, all happening well. And Allah's Nabi gave this option to me. And then I got up in the morning, and I said, Tabban laka ya Rabi'ah. Tabban laka ya Rabi'ah. Inna ad-dunya za'ilatun faniya. Wa inna laka rizqan kafahu Allahu azza wa jal. La budda an ya'tiya. Rabi'ah, you cannot throw away such a golden opportunity so casually. You're going to ask something which has been preordained and is inevitable. Whether you ask this or not, your sustenance comes your way. Be wise, be smart, be calculated, and ask for that for which you have to make effort. Go and ask Nabi alayhi salam that you want to be his friend and you want to walk with him in Jannah. I mean, look at the aspiration of a young boy at that time. One youngster came to Abu Darda and he said, Ya sahiba Rasulillah, awsini. O companion of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I didn't see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You seen him, please advise me. Imagine a young boy appreciating the talent of a Sahabi. Rabi ibn Khutaym was a great Tabi'i. He used to cry by night so much that his mother used to get up because of his crying. His mother got up one night and came to pet him. My son, is there some crime you have committed which I'm unaware of which makes you cry like this by night? It gets me worried to see you sobbing like this. So he said, yes, mom, I have killed someone. So his mother was very disturbed and perturbed. She said, who? He said, I'll talk to you tomorrow, mom. I need to atone for my wrong and my mistake. Anyway, he continues crying. The mother is in panic. In the morning, she meets her son. She says, my son, what happened and who did you kill? He said, قَتَلْتُ نَفْسِي بِالذُّنُوبِ I have killed myself by sinning against my Allah. Now this is a young boy. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is a Sahabi. Rabi ibn Khutaym is not a Sahabi. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and seen him also. And one day Abdullah ibn Mas'ud look at this young boy and he says, لو رآك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحبك. You know, Rabi, Allah's Nabi didn't see you and you didn't see him. But I had the privilege of seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and I equally have seen you. I swear by Allah, if Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam seen you, he would have loved you dearly. Imagine that testimony. The testimony of a Sahabi that you haven't seen. Ask yourself, if Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to see me, my Allah, I don't even want to walk down that road. Sometimes when I go to sleep, at times I want to make dua. Allah, can I see my Nabi in a dream? By Allah, I'm saying in the masjid. Then I just fall short. No man, you know, Allah, I don't have the courage. I don't have the courage. Because I don't have a face to face him. See him, but I know I'm off the mark. Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, when he used to come and convey salams at the blessed grave of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to stand at a distance. People used to say, come forward. He says, no, I can't face my Nabi. I can't face my Nabi. I don't have that, what it takes to come forward. So anyway, he said, in the morning I got up, I said, no man, Rabia, your sustenance is sorted out. Allah will give it to you. Ask something else. Go ask something else. I say to people, the principle of the Quran is standard, that if you are grateful, Allah will multiply. It is so tragic that we've restricted the connotations of multiplications to monetary. So if I'm grateful for... So what does it mean if you're grateful? If I make shukr to Allah for my shop, Allah will give me another shop. Allah, I'm so grateful in Ramadan, you've given me the ability to keep away from listening to haram, from looking at haram. Every day perform 2 rakat salah and thank Allah for the ibadah He's given you. Hopefully that will give you the strength to continue after Ramadan. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you're grateful, I'll increase. Whatever the nature of the gratitude is. Everything is restricted to monetary connotations. If I'm grateful for wealth, if I'm grateful for health. No, Allah, I'm grateful. And I'm finding pleasure in speaking to you. And accordingly, Allah will increase. So I came to Nabi alayhi salam in the morning. I said, O Nabi of Allah, done. I've decided. What's it? O Nabi of Allah, make dua that I become your friend and I walk with you in Jannah. Man awsaka bihada? Oh, who gave you, which sheikh you went to, who gave you this advice? You know, a child comes here and says, gives off this beautiful speech. MashaAllah, who helped you? I did it myself. Okay, I'm giving you 20 minutes, prepare another one. No, I can only prepare myself at home. I was in Canada now, 2 months ago. So there was this brother, MashaAllah, he attends all my programs and his son is very fond of me. Like memorize extracts of my lectures and whatever. So we came out of the talk. So he called him, said, Tamim, meet the Sheikh. So he comes and meets me. I said, right, you heard the lecture? Yeah, I heard your entire lecture. I'm like, you know it? Yeah, I memorized it. I said, okay, what did I say? No, it's currently just installed. Wow. That's a 4-year-old kid. It's in installing mode. Looked at his dad, had a chuckle. I said, let's move on. You're talking to another generation. It's in installing mode. That's where we are. But look at the youth of Sahaba. So what he said? Rabia, who advised you? O Nabi of Allah, I must be honest. Again, look at the honesty. It's not like, O Nabi of Allah, no, I got nothing to do with dunya. I said, where else? Rather just, O Nabi of Allah, when I walked out, honestly, at length I deliberated. I had the strong passion to ask you dunya. But Allah by His kindness saved me before I came to you. And Allah put this good thought in my heart that I should rather be wise and circumspect and measured and calculated and I should ask deen over dunya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, again, mashallah, congratulated me. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, Rabi'a, are you sure? Are you certain? Is that concluded? If it was us, we're like, okay, you got me thinking again now, you know. Even my wife told me I should think properly. Now you dangling that candy before me too long, man. O Nabi of Allah, ma a'dilu bima sa'altuka shay'a. O Nabi of Allah, when I ask what I ask, I mean what I want. And I want nothing but your company in Jannah. I want nothing. إِذَنْ عِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ Then you make sajda in abundance and I will make dua and we will walk together in Jannah. What did I say? وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين. Your sustenance is decreed, it's ordained by Allah. Imam Shafi said, وَلَيْسَ يَزِيدُ فِي وَرِزْقُكَ لَيْسَ يُنْقِسُهُ التَّأَنِّي وَلَيْسَ يَزِيدُ فِي الرِّزْقِ الْعَنَاءُ. If you work less, it will drop your income, and if you work more, it will not increase your income. It will be this way or that way. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, under this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ لِيَذَّكَّرُوا, that we have distributed rain amongst them differently. He used to say that every year Allah sends down the same measure and quantity of rain. It's only Allah distributes it differently. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, Allah sends down the same amount of rain, Allah distributes it differently. So that which you going to exert yourself, you're not going to come home with more. You're going to tire yourself, but ultimately what Allah has ordained will come. So that's something we need to remind ourselves. Unfortunately, our yaqeen has dwindled, and our heart and our absolute thought and vision and focus has become on that year to such an extent that the average young student pursuing a degree also is motivated by the monetary returns more than the human touch or human sympathy in pursuing a career. So I might want to help people, but that's not the overwhelming motivation behind it. It's more where the monetary returns are secured. That is the number one factor. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the bottom of that same page makes a complaint which Allah has made in many places in the Quran. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. That whenever we favor man, and thereafter we snatch and we seize any of the privileges, then suddenly he revolts and he rebels and he becomes arrogant and despondent against us. His nature is very, very erratic. Over the most trivial thing, he forsakes his Lord. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً, if we privilege him with favor, bounties, boon, ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْ, then we snatch it from him, إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. Then he becomes ungrateful, he starts moaning, he starts groaning, he loses contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتْهُ لَيَقُولَنَّ هَذَا لِي. And post the difficulty, if we follow it with ease, if we succeed it with ease, then he says, no, I was waiting for this and I deserve this and it's only right that I receive this. This is his attitude. Some verbalize it, others' body language speaks it. Some verbalize it and they say this, others' body language says this, yet that. No, this is mine. خَوَّلْنَاهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. When we give him a bounty, he said, MashaAllah favored you. No, I've worked hard, I've toiled, I've labored, I've applied my mind, and then this happened to me. So obviously, this is not the nature of a believer. The dua I recited, and these are one of the duas of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and if you look at his duas, constantly he feared that Allah can snatch from him what Allah had given him. And remember, Allah wasn't going to snatch from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But that's a message to you and I. And Allah said to Nabi alayhi salam in the Quran, and the Mufassirin say we should read this ayah with extreme caution and care. وَلَئِن شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَلَئِن شِئْنَا لَنَذْهَبَنَّ بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا وَكِيلًا. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can seize the whole system of revelation. And we can divert revelation. And we can stop and halt revelation. So if Allah Ta'ala says that to Nabi alayhi salam, then Allah can snatch my iman, Allah can snatch anything and everything. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allahumma la tanzi' minni saliha ma a'taytani. Allah, don't take from me the good you favored me as much as I deserve to be deprived. As much as I deserve to be deprived, don't deprive me, O Allah. Furthermore, we cited the incident of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. You know, one of our short-sightedness is, whenever we speak about the prophets and their adversities, we synonymously attribute it to poverty and sickness. The Anbiya were tested, meaning they went through hardships, their nations opposed them. We seldom include in the list of difficulties of the prophets rebellious children. When we say Anbiya were tested, what do we mean? A Nabi was tested, basically, you know, he was poverty, sickness, opposition by his Nabi, by his people. But in the juz that we recited today, Allah spoke about two great Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, and every Nabi for that matter is great, and Sayyidina Nuh is amongst the Ulul Azm Anbiya alayhim was salam, the five that enjoy superiority over the others. ثم أوحينا إليك, you know, in شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيم الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. In the 25th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the Ulul Azm Anbiya. So one was the incident of Nuh alayhi salam, how Allah tested him with his rebellious son. And anyone who is raising children can appreciate the dynamics and the challenges. And honestly, I cannot have that level of concern for the guidance of my son as much as a Nabi has. And it hurts me when my son doesn't obey Allah. Can you imagine what a Nabi went through when his own son rebelled against him? And how painful a moment it must have been for the Nabi of Allah, alayhi salatu min Allah wa taslimat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam to build the ark. In English they say, prepare in advance. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Prepare in advance. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Furthermore, we learn from the text of the Quran. The Quran said, "Wasna'il الْفُلْكِ." And if you dissect that and look at the Arabic etymology of the word sana'a, the scholars tell us, sana'a means to do something thoroughly, to do something with skill and competence, which is a subtle indication that as Muslims, we've been exhorted and been encouraged that we do things properly and systematically. There is a myth here that Islam doesn't support professionalism. That is a myth we need to refute. That is a myth we need to do away with. Islam calls, you see, there's a distinction. A person's clothes are dirty and messy. They say, brother, no, I'm humble and simple. No. They say, you don't have to mumble to be humble. You don't have to mumble to be humble, and you don't have to be loud to be proud. You can be soft and proud, and you can mumble and be arrogant also. Islam teaches us simplicity. Never once were Nabi alayhi salam's clothes dirty. Yes, they were patched. That is an indication of simplicity. So Islam wants cleanliness. Islam believes in professionalism. Islam believes in excellency, but not obviously at the cost of compromising the tenets and the fundamentals of deen. This is where we lose it. You know, one pious scholar was asked a beautiful thing. He said, my friend is getting involved in something wrong. I want to help him and rescue him. To what extent do I assist him? And he said it so beautifully. He said, you rescue a drowning person provided you don't drown. You offer him your hand to the extent that you can salvage and rescue him. But if the tide is so high and the current is so strong and the water might suck you in, then obviously you back off. You back off because now it's having an adverse effect. So Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam built the ark. Every time people pass, they said, oh, Nuh, one thing, eh? You always give us something new to laugh at. Hey, you don't ever fail in giving us opportunity to mock and scoff at you. You update us constantly with something. Bil ams kana yal'ab ma'ana, wal yawm sara najjara. So yesterday we used to play with Nuh, and today Nuh is a carpenter. Inna amraka kullahu ajabun ya Nuh. Nuh, really, man. You know what? You sum up what people call, wal'iyadu billah, strange, insane, crazy, bizarre. And what did the Nabi do? In taskharu minna, fa inna naskharu minkum kama taskharun. If you want to laugh and mock, do what you want to. My time will also come when I will mock. And really, that time came. But I want to bring it to the point of this discussion, where tragically he has this heart discussion with his son. And really today, you know, we are living in an era where we communicate more and we speak less. If you exclude present day devices and technology, then this statement might be contradicting 20 years ago. I mean, hang on. You communicate but you don't speak. No, well, I didn't understand this in English. Well, that's the modern language, and that's how it works, and that's how it evolves, that we communicate and we speak less. I'm BBM, WhatsApp, this, that, but am I talking to my son? Are we having a father and son discussion? Obviously, this is not happening. So it's the day of Eid, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz sees his son, and his son is wearing this torn shirt. As a father, he is moved to tears, and he cannot hold it. His eyes swells up with tears, and he breaks down. So the son comes running, and he hugs his father. Today, if a father is crying, you think it bothers his son? It's got nothing to do with it. His that the world has desensitized them, like they got no more feelings, that the touch to human has been lost. So he says, "Ma bakika ya abi?" Oh, my dad, what makes you cry? He said, "Akhsha an yankasira qalbuk yawm al-eid idh ra'aka as-sibyanu bi hadha al-qamis al-khaliq." I'm just wondering, I look at the boys playing, everybody's wearing something new. You're my only son there, and you're the only child wearing something old. I don't know if you'll have the courage to manage in front of people. You know, it's human nature. When you look at your child going through a difficulty, you know, I can deal with that, but I doubt my son will deal with this. And I know for a fact my parent could deal with something greater which I cannot deal with. And for a fact, when I look at certain things in the lives of my child, I know that I've been through this, and that's fine, and that's the norm of life. But I know the generation of today cannot brace this. This is how the rhythm of life is going. And this is turning very rapidly and swiftly. So what was the answer of the son? He said, "Dad, that's nothing to be depressed about. إِنَّمَا يَنْكَسِرُ قَلْبُ مَنْ أَعْدَمَهُ اللَّهُ رِضَاهُ أَوْ عَقَّ أُمَّهُ أَوْ أَبَاهُ." Depression is not if you wear old clothes, and happiness is not if you're clad with new clothing. Depression is inseparable from the one who disobeys Allah or disobeys his parents. And I know you are happy with me, so I hope Allah is happy with me. So there's nothing for me to be depressed if I'm wearing an old and a torn and a tattered shirt. The father hugged him and kissed him. And he said, "Alhamdulillah alladhi akhraja min sulbi man yu'inuni ala deeni." I am so grateful that Allah has given me true riches. In Australia now, I had different talks, and I was quoting this one saying, and I'll say it again. Fortunate is he whose child runs into his arms even when his hands are empty. Fortunate is he whose children run into his arms. That this is bonding. This is father and son. And when you read this, it bursts your heart. Ya bunayyar kam ma'ana. Ya bunayyar kam ma'ana. وَلَا تَكُمْ مَعَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So he had four sons, Sam, Ham, Yafith, and Kan'an. Sam, Ham, Yafith, they're on track, they embraced the faith, they obeyed their father. Kan'an, the smart boy, know it all, read it all, understood it all. I hope there are some youth listening to me. And if they're not listening, may Allah take my message to them. And really, I have seen many a times the message has been transmitted through different sources. So I'm optimistic Allah will reach it to their ears, and hopefully they will effect some change. Ya bunayyar kam ma'ana, my boy, come, board this ark. Wala takum ma'al kafirin. Stop your arrogance. Stop your attitude. Stop this obstinate nature of yours. But then again, know it all, read it all. I'm one above you, Dad. I'm more smart than you. Qala sa'awi ila jabalin. When my son shows me arrogance and he retorts like this, I break to pieces. Imagine what a Nabi went through. That is what I'm saying. When we say a Nabi was tested, we seldom entertain the nature of a test being rebellious children. We only think a Nabi is tested, Allah gave him poverty and sickness, and that was it. Look at how a Nabi was tested. My dad, this azab of Allah you're talking about, that is fine if you don't know where to hide. I've got the best hideout. So if I simplify the parable, don't drive fast. Sheikh, I got airbags. This guy is designed to take impact. The airbags of today is the very slogan that the rebellious son of Nuh made centuries ago. I did advanced driving. I'm one above. I will take amnesty on the zenith of the mountain, and I doubt the torment of Allah will find its way there. My boy, and I won't able to say it with the heart of a Nabi. I often say, a mother leaves the lunch box at home, and she passionately prepares the food. She tells her husband, "When my Huzaifa comes or my Ibrahim comes home, give him a hug, give him a kiss, tell him I love him. Maaf, I had to go. Here's his lunch, there's the drinks." And when he comes home, "Mommy left lunch for you there. Here's the stuff, you must take it and eat it." And yeah. And there's a number on the phone. I'm a father. I can communicate the message, but I will fail miserably to effect and transmit the warmness of a mother. I can translate and transmit her words, but I cannot possibly, and really I've seen it. You see what Allah has created in a mother, how long nursing a child, attending, it's something that really one has to give due. After all, the Quran has paid tribute to a mother in that sense. So what must have been the passion, a father to a son, and then a Nabi to a follower? How I'm reading the ayah and I'm translating it. But what the passion was, only Allah knows. لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم. My son, nothing can rescue you from the torment of Allah today until and unless you don't surrender and submit and comply. Oh, what a moment. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. The Quran says, in came the tsunami, in came this massive tide, separated father and son. As Nuh boards the ark with his naked eye, he sees his son drown. He's a father after all. He turns to Allah. Inna ibni min ahli. Inna ibni, look at the, you know, I cry out to parents. I mean, I met a brother now in Perth. I spoke about something about forgiving and tolerance. And then he came to me and he was like on the way as I was coming out. He said, Sheikh, can I have a minute? Sorry, you're busy. I said, no, talk to me, brother, talk to me. It's really, sometimes we don't know who's going through what in their life. His hand was in a cast and all that. He said, my son hit me and he broke my hand. I know I got to forgive him, but like, I have forgiven him from my heart, but do I initiate the relation? Or what do I do? He says, yeah, I'm seeing his hand in a cast, and I mean, I sympathize with it, but I didn't know what were the circumstances. He got into a physical fight with me, and he hit me, and it actually broke my hand, and I forgave him. I forgave him at that time. You know, children at times don't realize what they are doing, and at times the pain they inflict is irrevocable. It's irrevocable. So Nuh alayhi salam, as a father, turns to Allah, inna bani min ahli wa inna wa'daka al-haq wa anta ahkamul hakimin. Oh my Allah, my son after all is my family, and you've promised you will rescue my family. So I'm politely asking, please my Allah, save my son. Again, Allah disciplines his Nabi, innahu laysa min ahlik. Oh Nuh, he is not part of your family. Because it is compliance to your deen that defines your family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And his iman never shakes. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَن أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh my Lord, I beseech you, I beg you, I implore you, forgive me. And in future, I will not venture into something which is outside my jurisdiction. So really the point that I'm saying is that this attitude, the ulama say, the biggest mistake Fir'aun made, what was the biggest mistake? And today, on a macro level, the world is perpetrating the same crime and repeating the same blunders. So when the nation of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, when Ad was destroyed, and they were then succeeded by Thamud. And Thamud were known, تَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ. That with great skill and craftsmen, you carve dwellings in the mountains. So when people told them, look at Ad, how they were destroyed because of the disobedience of Allah, they said, no, they were not destroyed because of the disobedience. This is because of lack of protective measures. So now we're going in the mountains and we're carving it in such a way so, you know, they build houses I've seen in California that can withstand an earthquake. So it can jolt for 3 or 4 seconds, and you know, because it's a higher risk. So I'll take those protective measures, but when it comes to effecting change and stopping those things that bring about unpleasant decisions, that is not what we want to do. So the ulama say the biggest mistake of Fir'aun under this ayah, inna Fir'auna wa Hamana wa junudahuma kanu khati'in. It was not that he killed the children. The biggest mistake of Fir'aun was, in his foolish mind, he thought, I can counter the plan of Allah. This was it. If the plan of Allah is that somebody will overpower my kingdom, then I have a counter plan. And that attitude needs to change. Today, we see the epidemic and the scourge of so many viruses in the place because of promiscuity. So we don't want to curtail the wrong and the vice, but we want to create protective measures and use this measure and that measure, least realizing that this is because of the wrath of Allah and because of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the son did not comply and the consequences were drastic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and open our eyes that we can heed the verses of the Quran, we can effect the change, and we don't have that arrogance. Just one more ayah, inshallah, because obviously much time has gone. And this is a verse we recited. I won't even touch on Surah Yusuf because too much time has been taken. And that is something that is a very, very important principle of life. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ I often advocate this. People, you know, now there's, we've got this desire, which might be commendable to a certain extent, but I think it needs to be regulated. When I was in Sydney now, I had two programs there. So I spoke like for 1 hour. As soon as I come out, this youngster comes to me, Sheikh, give me some advice. I'm like, I'm talking for 1 hour, my brother. Like, hang on, man. Like, no, Sheikh, give me some advice. I said, my advice is, let's practice what I told. What else do I tell you? So we've become accustomed to asking. That's great, that's awesome. But unfortunately, the effecting the change is no more there. Somebody said in the English language, be the change you want to see in others. I wish my wife was like this. I wish my neighbor was like this. Your neighbor is also wishing his neighbor was like this. I wish my partner was like, your partner is also wishing you were like this. So be the change you want to see in others. So this ayah is a very, very, amazing, and it is this great consolation in this year. And what is this ayah? Allah Ta'ala says that if perchance you have performed some wrong, you have committed a vice, then hasten in performing a good deed. I say to youth, if you know you're going to the wrong place, one youngster said to me, I know I got this drug problem, I know I mustn't go, and I don't want to go, and my mind is saying I shouldn't be going, but my crave and my dependency overrides my intellect, and I start driving, knowing that I don't want to go. So I said to him, correct, mashallah, you're regretting, you're lamenting, but obviously that's not adequate. But one thing, even when you're going at that time, recite Quran. Reduce the crave for sin. And immediately thereafter, if you cannot restrain and exercise precaution and you do succumb, then immediately thereafter do an act of virtue. The benefit of doing an act of virtue will be two. A, hopefully, if we don't persist on the crime, it will erase the ill effect. It will erase the ill effect of the sin, and it would have the connotations in medical terminology of probiotic. So what's going to happen now? The body is not going to become immune to that drug. The body is not going to become immune to that vice. If you do a good immediately, the next time you commit that same wrong, the body is going to feel heavy about it because you've patched up for that wrong. But if you don't follow it up by a good deed, your body slips into a very easy zone about this year. And there are so many sins, Allah forgive me, that I have like surrendered that, okay, this I won't be repenting and this I will be dying. This Allah is just like, you know, forgive me. There are so many sins in my life that I have just like accepted. Now, you know, we all have our wrongs. Some have this, some have that. I live with this year. So let me just share with you 2-3 examples of how great this ayah is and how beneficial it is. There was a Sahabi, he came, Abdullah Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates it. He said, a person came to Nabi alayhi salam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I was sitting in my garden and then a woman came and then I got attracted to her and I could not control myself and I fell upon her. فَعَلْتُ بِهَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَمْ أُجَامِعَهَا قَبَّلْتُهَا, I kissed her, I came close and we did everything, but I did not have commit zina and I did not perpetrate fornication. But I'm feeling very bad about this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was also sitting there. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Satara Allahu alayk, lo satarta ala nafsik. Brother, we don't know about it. Go from here. Don't tell us. Look at how clean they were. If it was us. I'm making that, but Allah forgive, I'm worse than him. I've done it 10 times more. And I'm like, hey, you know, nowadays you can't trust anyone. Eh? Hey, doesn't mean a man goes for Umrah or anything. Eh? I mean, I know some real weird things. Ah, but leave it. How do I have the guts to condemn or have a condescending attitude to someone when I perpetrate the offense much worse than him and much more repeatedly than him? It beats my thinking process. Sayyidina Umar said, brother, please, man, we don't want to know. Please go from here. And we want to sensationalize it. Like, where was this God? And who's this? I was telling one brother in Australia now, he was talking. So I said, you know, once I was in Canada and a sister came and she phoned me and she was crying and she was saying that, you know, talking about the challenges facing the Ummah, that, you know, she's exhausted all the legitimate options and she hasn't had any proposals and she's making dua and, you know, time is running out. And so I was like really telling him it's really sad and it's challenging. And he's like, okay, give me her contact details. Like, no, man, you know. I'm serious, my brother. I'm serious. It's not a joke here, you know. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, what's it? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, nothing. We performed salah. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, where's that brother who was asking? Call him here. Ashahidta ma'ana salah? Were you here for salah? He said, yes, I was here. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has revealed this verse. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Tell them to establish prayer and tell them to follow a good deed after a sin and Allah will erase the ill effect of that sin. Allah will erase the ill effect of that sin. There is another incident mentioned also in the same light here with regards to following it up by a good action. There was a particular person. It's mentioned in Zadul Talibin, in the commentary, Mufti Ashiq Ilahi rahimahullah has given the reference of Kanzul Ummal, that badiru bis sadaqah, to give charity. Charity is a very quick action that you can do. But also when it comes to charity, we need to be real with ourselves. Allah has given me wealth, you know, like I think I mentioned it, but I'll say it again. Sometimes you're given a lousy 1 rand, and I consciously use the phrase lousy, a lousy 1 rand. And then you say, yeah, Allah protect me, protect my family, Allah give us barakat, Allah cure my son, Allah give... I mean, like, how much am I negotiating with this rand? I mean, don't I feel bad? How much do I want done for one lousy rand? To try your luck elsewhere? Your parking ticket is more, man. And like one lousy, and I've got this tall order and this big ask, and I've got this hefty request, and I'm like going on and on and on. I gave that guy, I gave that guy 50 cent and that brother 20 cent. No, we got to be real, my brother. We got to be real with ourselves. We got to be real. Yesterday I spoke about Ka'b radiallahu anhu. After 50 days of his tawbah, he said, I'm so grateful that Allah has accepted it. Part of my happiness that Allah has accepted my tawbah, I have given whatever wealth will come to me from the spoils of the war in charity. Whatever wealth will come, I have given it. That was charity. So anyway, there was this one person who had a particular bad habit. So one person went to the Nabi of the time and he said, this man is, you know what, he owes me money and he's doing this and he's got certain bad habits. So the Nabi cursed him. He was, some narrations suggest, that he had a laundry, he used to take people's clothes and never used to return it. So the Nabi cursed him and said that today he will be destroyed. He will be destroyed. The evening comes, the night sets, the man is still living. So this person goes back to the Nabi and he says, I don't doubt what you said, but you had invoked the curse of Allah on this man, but amazingly, he's still living. So the Nabi said, call him and come. When he was brought, he had this bundle of clothes with him. He said, open this up. And when he opened, inside was this venomous snake. And he said, because of my curse, this creature has been tasked to poison you and kill you. But I'm convinced as a Nabi, my dua will not be rejected. You have done some action to counter your evil. He said, yes, I gave some charity today. He said, that has rescued your life. Innal hasanat yudhi, and we're not for a moment advocating that continue the wrong and you know, just again now, just a fresh memory when I was there in Gold Coast, and then I spoke about Tawbah, and as I was walking out, a brother came to me. He said, sum up this whole thing for me now. Allah is forgiving. You said we must worry about our sins. I always comfort myself to say that Allah will forgive me. So am I abusing Allah's clemency or strike the balance? And at that time, Allah put the thought in my mind. I said, nobody deliberately exposes themselves to injury simply because they got bandage at home and simply because they have the correct ointment when you burn your fingers. Like, you know what, December is here. If I'm not going to get hurt, so let me hurt myself. Man. I mean, how long, you know, the stint is now expired here. You know, when last we use this Panado, like, you know, give me one Nokia. I need, no, it's there. But I tread every precaution. So in the same way, Allah's forgiveness and Allah's clemency is there. But that doesn't mean I must abuse it. I must turn to Allah and Allah forgive. I end with this here. A believer is one who never plans a sin. A believer is one who never devises a haram plot. He succumbs to circumstances, humanly speaking. As a mortal, as a human, I give the example, you can oversleep. That's possible. But to plan that I'm going to get up at 8 o'clock and miss Fajr, that doesn't gel with the life of a believer. I am going to do wrong. I'm consciously picking up. I'm planning that tomorrow is Saturday. I will come out early from work. I will sneak out of office. I will coordinate. I will drop this. I'll do that. That is foreign and alien to the life of a believer. Instinctively, he got up and he did it. I'm not condoning it, but I'm saying that is possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. May Allah guide our youth. May Allah guide us. May Allah make us good role models for our children. May Allah grant them the understanding of taqwa. And Allah save us from sin. And if ever we sin, Allah give us the ability to effect change. I'll leave you with a nice English saying. They say, regardless of how tainted your past is, your future is still spotless.
Buy Islamic media, CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s, and DVDs at SoakIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SoakIslam. SOUKISLAM.com.